of our upward basketball and cheerleading season yesterday. I know many of you are praying for our for that, and it's really an important ministry we do here. It's a very important mission, and a lot of you guys are involved in it. Some of you have, wear more than one hat. I see guys out there that coach and referee and run back and forth to different gyms and have a lot of different responsibilities. And so now that we're at the halfway point, if you're in that boat or in that role, probably you faced a little bit of adversity. I know I was talking with Bradley yesterday, and he's kind of had a little bit of adversity of late. I want you to know, and I want to be transparent, yesterday for your pastor, the wheels came off. I mean, we had a rough day. I got it handed to me like I never had before in a ball game. And I knew we were in trouble. About 11 o'clock, I'm still in our gym. We didn't play until 2. And our best player, his mom texts me and says that he can't make it. I'm thinking, all right, well, how can I cover this? Well, I thought, I've got a pretty good second guy. He can handle the ball. He's a pretty good guy. He's a good leader. And we'll be okay. We probably won't win, but we'll be all right. Because we're not the most, we're not the strongest team. Don't have a whole lot of depth. And I kept waiting for that kid to show up, and he never showed up. And I had another kid that was really hurting. His back was bothering him, and he didn't want to play for half the game. Long story short, I didn't even have enough guys to even field 5. So I had to borrow from the other team. Well, guess who they gave me? You got it. They're worse players. I didn't even have, and it was, I couldn't even get the ball down the court. I mean, the kids that were dribbling, they were trying their hardest, but they would get it stolen repeatedly. And you know how it is when you can smell blood in the water. That's how it was with this team. And this team had some kids that probably had not had a lot of success, and they went for it. I mean, they didn't lay off a bit. They stole, and their coach, he was laughing about it, but he was like, now lay off a little bit, play off them a little bit. And yet every time, I mean, it was just horrible. And this is how bad it was. This will tell you how bad it was. At halftime, Ron Kroll comes over to my bench. He's one of the referees, and he's a coach at the high school. And he says, Coach, who's your best free throw shooter on this team? I'm like, well, he's not here today. Actually, neither one of them are here today, but probably be this guy. He said, I'll try to get him on the line for you a few times. When a referee says that, you know you're hurting. I mean, they were trying to give me every break in the books. I mean, and just got worse and worse. And so, and the worst part of it all is I had to give the halftime devotion. I'm thinking in my mind, I need to see, I'd like to preach judgment and vengeance here right now. But I couldn't do that. I had to go ahead with what I was planning. But it was just, it was tough. And I learned a couple of things. I learned, first of all, I already knew that I was competitive. And I don't like losing when it's a close game, but I really don't like losing when you get slaughtered. It was tough. And so I had to ask the Lord to help me. And I had to ask the Lord to help me to have the right attitude and to encourage and coach these. And He did. And in fact, I'm going to preach to you next week about a very important growth agent. Don't miss next week. Now, you need to check in this week, too. But next week, we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit helps us. We're going to talk about how we can grow by just learning to walk in the Spirit. So you don't want to miss that next week. But I learned it firsthand yesterday. And you know what the Lord reminded me? Because I just slinked out of that gymnasium afterwards at Heritage, and I had to come back over here. And I thought, I don't want to face anybody. I don't want to face my wife. I just want to go home. But anyway, He reminded me that there's another game going on besides this game. And you've got a team that's assembled. And I thought about the people that faithfully worked that scorer's table from our church. And Vonda on the PA. And Dean with the help with the sound system. And Harold with the, and all the folks that work in the concession stand. And people that are praying behind the scenes. And obviously you guys that are coaching. And people that are reffing. And we've got a team assembled. And that team, the goal is not to win a stinking basketball game. As fun as that is to do that. The goal is to win people to Christ. And it's working. God is honoring that. People are saved every year in upward basketball and cheerleading. Children are saved. But there's adults that listen to those devotions and they're checking them out. And the Lord reminded me, I've got to keep the main thing. The main thing. And so I learned a little bit. But I did learn a lot about teamwork, too. I'm learning about how important it is to have your whole team together. I'll tell you what, everyone is necessary in the body of Christ. You know, when you're saved, when you're born again, you're born into a family. You're adopted into the family of God. Grafted in is what the Bible says. And you become a part of a family, and you become an integral part of that body. And that's the growth agent I want to talk about today. It's the growth agent of getting plugged into the body and being a vital part of that body. Now, you can choose to be an inactive part of that body, but when you do that, you're not only hurting yourself, but you're hurting the body. Wouldn't it be great if everybody knew exactly what they were supposed to do, what your role was, what God had gifted you to do, and you were doing it and seeing some success? You'd be excited. We'd be doing great things for the glory of God. Now, a lot of you know, and you just need to be encouraged today. You need to hear this message like a pep talk, like a halftime pep talk. But others of you, you need to take some notes today. You need to think through this, and you need to apply it to your life, because I believe that spiritual gifts, understanding and using your spiritual gifts, is a vital growth agent in your life. I know I wish now, looking back on my Christian life, that I would have heard more direct and clear teaching about spiritual gifts when I was younger. I really didn't hear a clear set of teaching on that until I was an adult, and I heard it on the radio, on Christian radio. Chuck Swindoll's teaching just arrested me. I thought, man, you're right. Man, I want to discover my gifts. It was part of a process. I was saved way before that. It was part of a process that led me to where I am today. I would have never known my giftedness was in preaching and teaching until I started to discover and uncover and use my spiritual gifts. Very important. And every one of you has a spiritual gift. Every single one of you. And you get it the moment you're saved. In fact, I really believe we have a gift mix. Now, is there a specific list of gifts? Well, there's four different lists in Scripture in different places, in 1 Corinthians and Romans 12. Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4, but they're not a uniform list. And so there's some questions about spiritual gifts. There's some honest differences of opinion over how those gifts work in the church today. And so I don't want to focus on that so much today, all right? We can talk about that at another time. I'd be happy to teach you and tell you what I know about that. Today I want to focus on getting you plugged in as a growth agent. Think about using and discovering your spiritual gifts so that it'll be a growth agent in your life and in the life of our church. And the best passage I know that talks about that is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You talk about teamwork. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. It's a troubled church. Not because they don't have believers in it. Not because they don't have all the things that are necessary to be a thriving church. It was a struggling church because they struggled with jealousy and they struggled with sin. And they struggled a little bit here with pride over the spiritual gifts. And so that's what Paul is teaching about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I want to pick up in verse 12. I'll reference back to some of these earlier verses in the first 11, but I really want to focus on verses 12 through 20 as we preach about doing your part in the body. Paul writes, "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for that reason any less a part of the body." Verse 16. "And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is," verse 18 says, "God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as He wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." You think Paul's trying to get a point across there? Then jump down to verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it." Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this word that we've heard today. Your Spirit, Holy Spirit, You inspired Paul to write these words. And You want us to apply them to our lives. We're talking about growth because we're at the beginning of a new year and a new decade. And so we're just motivated, maybe more so than at other times of the year, to look at growth in our lives. We want to grow in our relationships. We want to grow in some other areas, maybe in wisdom and education. We want to grow stronger. And hopefully, I think we do or we wouldn't be here, we want to grow spiritually. And so help us today to see how this applies to our life. Not just being a part of a body, but really getting plugged into the body and finding how we can serve in the body and minister in the body. I pray that you would speak to us today, Lord. Help me to preach, not just my own words, but Holy Spirit, please speak through me today. Give us ears to hear and help us to obey you today, Lord. Because, Lord, you have something good for us, a good plan for our lives and a good plan for our church. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you know this or not, but the happiest people who go to Hillcrest Baptist Church are people who are serving in a ministry. And they're serving in a ministry where they're surrounded by other people that they enjoy working with. And God is using their life to make a difference in somebody else's life. I mean, folks, it just doesn't get any better than that. That is the essence of the abundant Christian life. Now, again, I'm not saying there's not adversity sometimes. There's not times where there's struggles or things that need to be ironed out. But that is what it's all about. That is why God has called you to a body. That's why God has called you to serve in that body. Now, I know when we talk about that, there's some people, when they hear me say a big part of following Jesus is serving in the church, they plug their ears right now. Because they remember something bad that happened in an experience at another church. Or maybe even in this church. Maybe that's a red flag for some of you today because you've been hurt before and you're reluctant to put yourself out there. You know the old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not going to go through that again. And so you're reluctant to serve. Well, if that's you today, I want you especially to hear these words. And I want you to know that we're committed to following these words here. Now, we're growing. We're not maybe perfect at it, but we are all in on this. Because we recognize the need for everybody to be involved in their ministry. Besides that, can you imagine what we could do if we all worked together in a united fashion and we all got plugged in and we all were exercising our gifts to the full? I think you'd be surprised by what Hillcrest Baptist Church could do. We might even be a conduit for revival. Revival for our whole city. Revival for our whole nation and even revival that might spill into the world. It could happen, but it's going to take commitment and you're going to have to get plugged in. And you're going to have to use service as a growth agent in your life. So I want all of you to know that joy that I'm talking about. Maybe you had that joy at one time, but you lost it. I want that for you today. And so what you got to do is you got to discover your spot. You've got a spot. You've got a place where you can serve like only you can serve. You can do what nobody else can do in the body. And I want you to find that. And so I hope that these passages, this passage of Scripture whets your appetite today. Because if you're born again, you have something wonderful that you can do. And it's going to give you so much joy and fulfillment and satisfaction. It's where purpose and meaning come from in life. One of the main places where purpose and meaning come from. It's a great way to worship the Lord. But you got to get in on the game. You got to play to get in on the game. Mark Twain said this, I love this statement. He said, the two most important days in your life are the day that you're born and the day that you realize why. I think that's true spiritually, don't you? The day you're born again and the day you realize why God has you on this earth. And you can discover that. You can discover that if you'll just let the Lord work in your heart and your life. So, let's talk about spiritual growth that comes as a part of doing your part in the body. Got 3 points I want to talk about, and let's dig into what Paul is saying here about following Jesus by serving his church. Here's point number one. Spiritual growth comes as you discover your place of service in the body. You discover your place of service in the body. And I use that intentionally, that word discover, because I don't think it happens automatically. I think you have to experiment, you have to try different things, you have to pray. You have to do some self-examination. You have to assess some areas where you're gifted. And you might even have some swings and misses. You might step up to the plate, to use another sports analogy, and swing and miss a pitch a time or two. But don't give up. Too many times we give up, or we think, because I'm not like that person, I'm not of any benefit to the church. Surely you heard in this passage, we're all gifted differently. And every one of us matter. Every person is unique. And yes, there are different gifts. Some of us are talkers like me, and others are behind the scene guys. But all of us are essential. The church doesn't function without every type of worker and server. So spiritual growth comes for you as you discover your place of service in the body. I want to jump up to verse 1 here. Look with me back in chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul starts this whole chapter saying, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware." Unaware. Now, this is a flyby today. This is not an extensive study of spiritual gifts. But I'll tell you what I do know about spiritual gifts in summary. Every single believer has at least one spiritual gift. You've got one. Probably you have a mix, like I said earlier, but there's at least one. And there are support gifts, which are gifts like teaching or administration or exhortation or preaching. But there's also service gifts that are behind the scenes gifts, like helps and mercy and giving and faith and hospitality. Now, let me say this. Just because you may not have one of those gifts as your primary gift doesn't mean you don't practice it. All right? We all need to be givers, right? Evangelism is listed as a gift in some of those lists, and we all need to go out and share the gospel, I believe. I know that's true. Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." All of us will be. But there's going to be an area that's really your sweet spot. It's really going to resonate with you, and it's usually probably tied into your natural abilities, which a spiritual gift is not a natural ability. It's also going to link into maybe your past experiences, your personality, and your heart. What's something you're passionate about doing? All of that's going to tie together, and that's going to be your sweet spot. And so you need to do that. Now I want to talk to you solo. I've been talking about how it benefits the church, but let's talk about you just individually right now. Why is this important for me? You say, "Well, why should I be motivated to try to do that, Pastor? Convince me." All right? First of all, because God has designed us to be participants and not spectators. God has designed us to be participants and not spectators. That's just how you've been wired. And that's how you're supposed to function in a church. The problem is in the church today, and I'm not just talking about Hillcrest, but in the church in America, is most people are simply consumers. We go to a mega church somewhere, and I'm not knocking mega churches. They do great work, and lots of people come to Jesus through those churches. But a lot of people just come to a mega church because they don't really want to get involved. They can slip in on a Sunday morning, hear a great sermon, hear great music, and see gifted musicians and talented people, but they never have any contribution to that church. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to a mega church, because they have roles there as well, and a good mega church will tell you to get plugged into that place. But a lot of people go there because they don't want to get connected and plugged in. That's not how God made you. You're to be a participant, not just a spectator. When I think about that, I can't help but think about our Upward kids. Our Upward kids, if you go to a game here on a Saturday morning, there's one game right after the next. And so you've got, first of all, kindergartners, and then you've got fifth and sixth grade girls, and then fifth and sixth grade boys. And I'm telling you what, particularly those boys, but really the girls too, they cannot wait to get out on the court. I mean, they can't wait for that last game to be over, the game that's currently being played to be over, so they can jump out there on the court. If they can find a basketball, they're dribbling it. They're expending energy. They're jumping up and down. They're talking. They're excited. There's one of them right there from yesterday, one little kiddo. Can't wait to get out there. How many of us are like that as far as serving in the church? How many of us can't wait for our next assignment? Oh, I've got to do that again. It's time to preach again. Time to teach a lesson again. Time to go out visiting again. Hey, listen, I'm not trying to be ugly. I know I've been there sometimes, and sometimes that happens to me. Don't stay there. Be like those kids. Be excited about what God might do through you today. I know you're not perfect, and I know you've got your own stuff you're dealing with in your heart, but if you'll take time to pray and to say, Lord, I'm giving this over to you. I need your help and your power to do this. You can get excited about it because you know God's going to meet you where you are. He's promised to. He's never going to leave you or forsake you, and he's going to use you in what you've got to do because you're not meant to be a spectator. You're meant to be a participant. Listen, here's a good line I heard a pastor say. The church is not an audience of spectators. It's a family of disciple makers. Isn't that good? And that's what we need to be. Here's the second reason why I want you to be motivated individually. You'll never experience all God has for you until you discover and use your gift, or gifts, plural. You just won't. You're destined to be a mediocre Christian. I'm not saying you're not saved. Not saying you're not going to heaven when you die. I'm saying you won't make the most of your life right now. You know, there's a lot of things we don't want to miss out on. We don't, if we're a family man or family woman, we don't want to miss out on family time. We'll save up money and we'll make sure that we go on vacation and we have those family moments. We take pictures. We're dedicated to that. We're dedicated to a career. We'll go 8 years to school to get a degree, get a specialized degree, or whatever we're trained to do. We'll go to a trade school because we're committed to not missing out on what we're supposed to do in work and life. Don't miss out on what God has for you spiritually. Don't look back one day and say, oh, I wish I'd have given more. Oh, I wish I would have served more. I wish I'd have tried that. Maybe I could have done that. Go out on the limb a little bit, because you'll never be all that God wants you to be unless you discover and use your spiritual gifts. And here's the third part of that. This is where I want to bring it back in corporately. Our church will never reach its full potential unless you discover and use your gifts. Did you know that? Our church will never reach its full potential. I don't care how good the preaching is. I don't care how good the music is. I don't care how wonderful facilities we have or the programs we have. I don't care what kind of footprint we have in our community, what we've done. If you're not all in, we're not going to be all we could be, because there's that element you could add to it. You see that? That's what Paul is teaching here. So Paul says that we need to understand that a manifestation, on verse 7, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. So you've got something to offer. Don't ever think you don't. Now, here comes the rub. Here's the second part I want to give you, point number two. This is where we get in trouble, and that's why I spent the bulk of my time reading this portion of chapter 12. Spiritual growth comes as you recognize that diversity in the body is strategic and not accidental. Here's where we get in trouble. Every church, even a little country church out in the boonies, is diverse. By diversity, I'm not talking about necessarily racial or ethnic or even monetary diversity. Especially in a smaller church, a lot of the people may be a lot alike. But we are different individually. We come from different backgrounds and situations. Even as Christians in this room right now, some of us grew up in the Catholic Church. Some of us grew up Pentecostal. Some were Methodist. Some were Southern Baptist 9 months before they got here. Some of us are all kinds of backgrounds. Some of us were from no religion at all. Some of us were very antagonistic towards faith. All kinds of different backgrounds in this room. Yet God hasn't assembled us together accidentally. And we have different temperaments. We have different skills and abilities. And we have different spiritual gifts. And it's just the way God made it. See, the problem is sometimes that becomes a point of contention with us. And we'll want something so bad, we'll be passionate about something, and the brother or sister next to us won't be. And we're like, come on, man, why won't you come along beside me? Where are you on this? Because we're seeing life through our lens, through our spiritual gifting, and when that person isn't on the same page, we don't like it. And sometimes we get judgmental, sometimes we can get ugly. I want you to understand that God is a God of order and design. He knows what He's doing. And He created a very diverse world, didn't He? Think about this beautiful, wonderful world we live in. Think about the diversity of animal life and plant life. Stephen, you take beautiful pictures. Think about the different scenery from different parts of even this United States which we live. God created that. God created the world to be diverse, and God created the church to be diverse. It's a blessing that we have many different kinds of people in this church. And not only is it a blessing, I'll even go a step farther. I'll tell you, it's strategic. If God created the world with order and design, I'll guarantee you He didn't create the church and say, you know, I'll just throw a few gifts down there, here and there, randomly, and put them in the church. No, His plan includes diversity. Don't see it as a liability, see it as an asset. So here's what I want you to see. It's strategic for three reasons. You're a strategic part of God's plan at Hillcrest Baptist Church, and Hillcrest Baptist Church is a strategic part of God's plan for the city, the nation, and the world. And here's how you're part of that strategic plan, or it's strategic. First of all, it's strategic because everybody in Christ's body has a unique role to play. Like the parts of human body, Paul says here, we all have a specialty. Every part of our body, our human body, has a specialty. That's the analogy that Paul uses here. Look back with me at this passage right quick. He not only says we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, but then he talks about the human body. And he talks about how every part of the human body has a specific responsibility. Look at verse 15. Verse 14 says, indeed, the body is not one part, but many. Now, look at 15. It kind of cracks me up. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. So he's being funny on purpose here. It's okay. And he's talking about how the foot is looking up at the hand, and he's envious of the hand. Because that hand is out there and everybody can see the hand, and the hand can clap and the hand can raise its hand in praise to the Lord Jesus. And here's this foot stuck in a stinky sock. What can a foot add to anything? Some of you right now, you're thinking, yeah, that's me, Pastor. I'm the toenail in the body of Christ. How disgusting. Well, if you're the toenail, you're still pretty important. I just would challenge you, go home and remove that toenail and see how you get along. All right? You need the toenail. You need the foot. It's a strategic part of the body. Everybody is somebody in the body of Christ. Everybody is somebody. In fact, that's my second point. It's strategic because no one in Christ's body, in the body of Christ, is superior or inferior. You get that? Nobody's superior. Nobody's inferior. It's one reason why, and if you've called me this, please, I'm not calling anybody out, but I really don't like the title Reverend. I really don't like it at all because I am not above you. I'm just called differently. God has called me to shepherd you, to teach and equip you, and to guard you. But I'm not above you. In fact, the Bible makes it clear that I'm to shepherd with a loving and merciful and humble heart. And so I don't like Reverend. Because Reverend, you know what that? That's a derivative of the word revere. And I don't need to be revered. I'm just your pastor. I'm just Pastor or Brother David. So it's strategic because nobody's superior or inferior. Everybody in Christ's body is somebody. Every part of the body is important, no matter how insignificant they may appear to be. Look at verse 16. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. Can you imagine the ear saying, here I am over here on the side of the head. I'd like to be right there in the center of things, like that eye. Well, you know what? Without an ear, we're in trouble. We need our ears. Very important part. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, Paul says, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? In other words, your feet are just as important as your hands. Hearing is just as important as sight. And you, my friends, are just as important as anybody else in the church. You're just as important as that person who is preaching, that person who is leading music, that person who is a deacon, that person who is teaching or in a front and center gift in the body of Christ. Now, let me bring up something else, all right? Because I know this may cross your mind here. Some of you might be saying, well, Pastor, I get what you're saying. But if you only knew what I had done, if you only knew the thoughts that run through my mind, or if you only knew what my past looked like, you'd know that I really don't have any business serving in the church. And you know what I'll say to that? I'll say, you have something to offer that maybe I can't offer. It could be that your rocky past may be the very thing that God could use to draw somebody else into the body. You can reach somebody that I can't reach. God will, and we talked about this last week, God will often take your mess and turn it into a ministry. And so don't think that you're disqualified because of your past. Look at the people that God, that Jesus forgave, and look who He recruited to have help, have Him help. He recruited people who had been demon-possessed, people who had not been in their right mind, people who were adulterers, or beyond that, maybe even prostitutes. He had people that nobody else would even hang around as part of His inner circle. Nobody's disqualified in this church. Now, you may not be gifted or able to do certain work in the church, but you have a role to play in the church. Here, I like this. God can use your story, no matter how good, bad, or ugly, to touch people in a way that nobody else can. Or maybe somebody else is in here today, right now, and you're saying, Pastor, you know, I am so shy, I don't know what I could do. I'm introverted. By the way, I'm a recovering introvert, but that's okay. Many of our body parts are just for you. They're deep down inside. They're work that goes on during the week, or even right now. You know, right now, there's people that are praying for me in this church. They're not in this room. There are people that are in children's church serving right now. They're not in this room. There are people that are in the nursery right now so that you can hear this sermon and not be distracted. And they're serving the Lord right now. Are they any less important than me? No, they're not. They are just as important as me. You've got a lot of internal organs you can't see. And you probably don't think about them very often. When's the last time you thought about your lungs? I hadn't thought about them in a while, but I thought about that this morning. My lungs are pretty important. I can't see them, but I'm sure glad they're there. If I didn't have my lungs, I wouldn't be alive. Even those hidden parts of the body are essential. You can't see those who minister to kids in children's church, or those who work with the sound system, or those who open the doors in the morning, but they are a vital part of this church. Thirdly, it's strategic because we are stronger and more well-balanced together. You and I are stronger and more well-balanced when we're together. You've heard me say it before, but we're better together. We are better together. And I know sometimes people have trouble with that, but I want you to notice something. Go back and look in the passage. Paul says something very important in verses 4 through 6. Look with me at verses 4 through 6, still in chapter 12. He says, "Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit." Verse 5 says there are different ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 6 says there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in every person. Two words stand out there, don't they, in those verses? The word different and the word same. You see what he's doing there? There are different experiences and gifts and ministries, but again, stop seeing them as liabilities. God made us different intentionally so we can pull together as one and be stronger together. And so when we are together as a diverse body, what that does is it keeps the focus clear. If we were all like me, we'd have our hobby horses and we wouldn't be as balanced as we are. I'm glad we've got some with a mission heartbeat, some with a heartbeat for the homeless, some with a heartbeat for those that are grieving, some with a heartbeat for divorced people, some with a heartbeat for those that are in alternative lifestyles. I'm glad we have different kinds of people in this church with different passions. Some with a passion for children. And so find out what your passion is and match it up with your gifts and serve to the glory of God. And our church will be a stronger, healthier, more well-balanced church because of it. Every local church has diversity because God has intentionally gifted them differently. He did it on purpose. Let me take you back to another basketball illustration. I'm just in a basketball mood today. Now, you may not like this team very much, but you can't dispute what I'm about to say. The Boston Celtics are the most heralded NBA team in NBA history. They have won more championships than any other team. They've won 17 of them. Laker fans, don't throw anything at me right now. Just hear me out, okay? And what's really incredible is not their 17. It's the fact that they won 11 of them in a 13-year period, and they won 8 straight in the late 50s through the mid-1960s. That's an incredible accomplishment. You don't see very many teams even win back-to-back anymore. And if they went 3 or 4, Jordan, I think, won 4 or something like that. This team was incredible. And that guy on the screen was their coach, Red Auerbach. And he was the architect of these great Boston Celtic teams that won again and again and again. That's why so many people hate the Celtics today. And here's how he did it. He didn't do it by outsmarting the other GMs and getting the most talent or getting the most motivated players. He did it by building teamwork. A diversified team that learned to work together. That's what the Celtics teams stood out for. This is a quote from Auerbach. He once said, "Everything we've done has been the result of people working together to meet our common goals." That's why the Celtics won championship after championship after championship. Wouldn't you agree that's how churches ought to work together? Teamwork, recognizing different giftings and different passions of different people. A church where everyone contributes and everyone plays their part. Everyone's valued and loved. We recognize there's different strengths. Just like somebody had to play center on that Celtics team. Somebody had to bring the ball down, be a point guard. Somebody had to come in off the bench. Everybody had a role to play. We've all got a role to play. We've got to find that role, keep honing and growing in that role, and then serving to the glory of God. Listen, you struggle with issues I don't. I struggle with things you don't. We're a work in progress. But when we work together for the glory of God, it's a team win. We win, and the kingdom wins. And every time the church wins, we can celebrate for all eternity. Amen? So let's get on the team. Let's get involved in it. But there's one more thing I need to talk about today. Third point about spiritual growth. We've talked about discovering your place of service. We've talked about using diversity or seeing it as a blessing and not a curse. The last thing I want to talk about is spiritual growth comes as you use your gifts to bless others. Use your gifts to bless others. See, that's the other thing you've got to guard against. The number one thing you've got to guard against is being condescending to others, which is what was happening in Corinth, because you've got a different set of gifts and you don't value their gifts like you do your own gifts. The other part of that is the pride issue. Using our gifts in a way that's selfish, where I want to bring attention to myself by using the gifts that God's given me. Listen, gifts are meant to build up the body. They're not designed to advance a personal agenda. So we've got to be unselfish. Our gifts that God has given us are meant to enrich the lives of other people who are around us. And so that's where we learn to be servants. And we serve other people. And if we don't, if I didn't have that in mind as I preached and taught and tried to lead and pastor, then I would be a very unfulfilled pastor. But when God reminds me that what I'm there to do is to serve and to reinforce and to equip, then it's my joy to serve you. I can't wait to serve you. And that's what we need to get. And your gift is the same way. You're gifted to be a blessing to others. Whenever somebody new comes to this church, I always tell them that before I pray with them. I pray that our church will be a blessing to you and that you'll be a blessing to us. That's what you can contribute. You can bless other people. You see, here's the deal. Bullet point number one, first bullet point. We are called to live in community and we are called to serve in community. That's why you need the church. There aren't any Lone Ranger Christians. These guys that say, "I love Jesus, but I don't love the church," they're missing the boat. Christ loved the church and died for the church, and he wants you in a church. Even if you've had some baggage, some bad luck in churches, or not bad luck, bad experiences. And so, I want you to notice something. This is something that came to my attention as I was studying this week, and I love it. But you know, there are at least 38 times where Scripture commands us to live out one another commands. And they're all about serving. We're to love one another. We're to serve one another. We're to encourage one another. Listen to this. When we properly use a spiritual gift, it's going to be a demonstration of love and service from one heart to another. We're serving one another when we use our spiritual gifts. And so, to reinforce what we talked about earlier, every member of our body has a specialty that contributes to the success of the whole. You've got something you can do that will bless other people as you serve. The person who opens the doors, the person who rocks the babies, the person who pray for the staff, they're doing the Lord's work and they are important. And they're blessing people in the church. And so like players on a team, to go back to this original illustration, we enhance one another. Together, we make each other stronger. I learned firsthand yesterday, if you don't have five fully functioning players on the court, you're going to get thumped. And if you just have one or two kinds of people trying to take care of everything here, it's not going to get done. We need everybody working together. We enhance one another. And again, there are some people, they don't need their name in print. They don't need to be in the headlines. They don't want their names in the headlines. Kind of reminds me thinking about players on a team. I heard a pastor one time tell a story about how he was at a conference and he was sharing, and it was a conference where he was actually talking to an NFL team. And so he was going in the elevator to go to where he was going in the hotel, and he got on that elevator with several offensive linemen for this NFL team, these huge guys. And so they're riding up the elevator, and he just wants to talk to him and say something. And so what he comes up with is he says, "Does it bother you that the quarterback gets all the headlines? I mean, he's the one that gets all the attention. He's usually the MVP of the game. And you guys do all this grunt work, and he gets all the headlines. Doesn't that bother you?" And you know what those guys said? They said, "Pastor, you don't understand. We're not on the field to get headlines. We're on the field to do our job. We're on the field so the team can win. And that's what we're doing. We're here. We're working and serving together so the Lord wins. The Lord gets the victory." And so if you want spiritual growth in your life, you've got to be part of that. Look with me again in the verse, at verse 18 in chapter 12. This is what Paul says. "But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted." Did you hear that? Verse 18 says God arranged you in the body just as he wanted. So here's a good prayer for you today if you don't know where you're supposed to serve. God, will you put me where you want? Put me where I need to be on the team. I want to serve. I want to discover my spiritual gift. I want to use it for your glory. And it may take some experimentation. I'm not saying you'll find it immediately. There's some things you can do introspectively to kind of get an idea of what it is, but God will use you. And let's not let dissension or division or differences or diversity sidetrack us from playing together as a team. Nothing's worse than a team that fights and doesn't get along, doesn't play together. You can have stars on a team like that, and they can be mediocre and not be very good. Let's pull for each other and pull together for the team win. Let me close with a story. Legend has it that one day the tools in a carpenter's shop had a big announcement. They voted that the hammer had to be kicked out of the shop because he simply made too much noise. The hammer protested, saying, "If I go, then the saw has to go, because that saw is always cutting people down." The saw said, he too protested and said, "Well, if I go, then the sandpaper has to go, because he's always rubbing people the wrong way." Sandpaper said, "Well, if I have to go, then the ruler has to go, because I'm tired of being told where I can and cannot go." But I want you to listen to the last part of this little story. "But in the heat of the argument, the carpenter of Nazareth walked into the shop, and he used the tools to build a cross to show the world that God loves them and that their sins can be forgiven. And when he finished, the tools didn't have to say anything. They knew that all of them were essential to the master's work. And so are you. So are you." Bow your heads and close your eyes. I've asked you to pray and think about getting in the game today. The way you initially get in the game is to be born again. There may be somebody here today who's never fully trusted Christ as Savior. What I mean by that is there was never a time that you repented and believed. You may have lots of head knowledge about Jesus. You may be very familiar with churches, even with this church. But until you are born again, you won't have a spiritual gift and you won't have a place on the team. You've got to trust Christ as your Savior. You've got to repent, which means you turn away from your sin and yourself, and you trust or believe in Christ alone. Christ is what saves you, not baptism. It was wonderful to see that baptism today. Connor was baptized, again, to show you that he's a believer. We practice believer's baptism. You're a believer, and then you are willing to show people that you're a follower of Christ. Baptism doesn't save you. Church membership doesn't save you. You're only saved when you believe in Christ and you repent of your sins. If you've not done that, you need to do that today. And I want to help you do that down at this altar in just a moment. First, I'm going to pray for you. Maybe there's others here today, and you need to be in a church home. You need to make that step of faith and say, "I want to be a member of this church." And it's a step that we do because we do need to be committed. As we've seen today, there is a commitment to being a part of a church. We're not just casual Christians, and we're not just casually members of a church. So if that's what God's laid on your hearts today to do, I just pray that you'll have the courage to do that. Or maybe you just need to come and pray at this altar. Whatever it might be, you're going to have time here in just a moment, but I'm going to pray for you first. Lord, I thank you for this very important passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you for how Paul ministered and pastored this church in Corinth. And Lord, I thank you that these words, by the power of the Holy Spirit, were given to us today and for Christians of all time to remember that the local church will be diverse. There will be different people with different personalities and different giftings in the church. And that's a good and glorious thing. And that should not keep us from wanting to plug in and discover and use our spiritual gifts and our talents and abilities. And Lord, we've got to guard ourselves against pride. And Lord, recognize that we've got to humbly serve others. That's the way to use effectively the gifts you've given us. And so help us, Lord, to do that and put that in effect. That's a growth agent. If we really do that, we'll grow in our spiritual life. But not only that, the church will grow. It'll be stronger. Oh, how I want that. I want that joy, that fulfillment, that happiness for those hearing me today. And I want that for our church. I want our church to grow because we need revival in our land. And I want our church to be a conduit for revival. So help us now, Lord, as you're speaking to our hearts, help us to respond and take our next steps, whatever those look like. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to stand up now as we come to our closing invitation. Harold's going to lead us. If you need to come forward for any reason, as we sing, "All to Jesus, I Surrender."